Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our primary article today is Santan Valley Council Candidates Chart Vision for New Town. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent May 28, 2026 and written by Janet Pettis. Residents of the new town of Santan Valley will be voting for their first elected council at the July 21st primary election. After the council members are elected, they will appoint a mayor and vice mayor from among themselves. Candidates Tyler Hudgens, Daniel Oakes, Darren Schneff, Brian Tyler, and Rupert Wolfert currently serve on the town's inaugural council after being appointed by the Pinal County Board of Supervisors. Also running for the 7-member council are Diane Combs, Jean E. Stockton, and Alex Stovall. Independent News Media sent out a questionnaire to learn about the candidates' thoughts on the challenges facing the new town now and in the future. Schneff, Stockton, and Tyler did not send in their responses. So we'll start with the first candidate, Diane Combs. Employment, retired. Professionally, I built a distinguished career as a retail executive for world-class companies, leading well-established retailers and startup companies that grew into international brands. Those experiences helped shape me into a thoughtful leader, strategic thinker, and collaborative team player. Community involvement. Locally, as a committee member and treasurer of the STV Incorporated, I played a key role in the historic effort of turning Santan Valley into a self-governing municipality. This effort gave me the opportunity to talk to residents and understand the real needs of the people of STV. I am actively involved as a substitute teacher in Santan Valley and have been directly involved in my neighborhood HOA for the past 7 years. What should be the top priorities for the new town? As a member of your town council, I will work with neighboring city and state agencies to advocate for effective transportation solutions that will meet the needs of our community. These include expansion of roadways, completion of State Route 24, and the construction of the Central Arizona Parkway. I will also advocate for comprehensive traffic studies that will address our critical high-incident intersections such as Hunt and Bella Vista. Public safety has been a pillar of the incorporation effort from the beginning. The inaugural town council was able to reach a 3-year agreement with Rural Metro to expand local services and facilities. An excellent first step, this does not go far enough. At the end of this agreement period, we need to create a tax-funded fire service that focuses on eliminating subscription fees. I will reach out to commercial developers and local business leaders to find opportunities to grow our community economically. I will also work with our community development director to establish business-friendly zoning that brings shopping, restaurants, and the much-needed services to Santan Valley that our residents demand. What does Santan Valley need to do to grow responsibly over the next 5 to 10 years? She responds, "Our voice, our town, our future." Residents must agree on how we will grow and maintain our natural beauty, create a town where economic opportunities are abundant, and ensure public services meet the highest standards. Santan Valley requires a comprehensive master plan that focuses on future growth and empowers residents to add their voice to future development. I will partner with local leaders to create a general plan that meets the needs of everyone. The plan must provide opportunities for economic prosperity while developing well-planned and connected communities. We have all seen so many commercially zoned properties converted into multifamily residential, ignoring appeals from residents and recommendations of the County Planning and Zoning Commission. I will work with the Community Development Director to protect our commercially zoned land for future economic development. As a new town, residents of Santan Valley will be paying new taxes. How will this benefit residents? Her response is, any taxes should have specific targeted benefits to the community. A half-cent sales tax could be used to subsidize a Rural Metro fire contract to reduce or eliminate existing fire service contract fees. A secondary sales tax could be levied as a bond initiative to purchase land for public parks or a sports center to support local Little League. Such a tax would expire once the initial bond is paid. That's the end for her. Our next candidate is Tyler Hudgens, age 35, employment is self-employed church planter. Community involvement. I have had the privilege of serving Santan Valley through both civic leadership and ministry. I previously served as chairman of STV Incorporated, the citizens committee that led the successful incorporation of Santan Valley, giving our community of nearly 100,000 residents a local voice and local control. An example of this was $50 million in annual tax revenue generated from Santan Valley that was previously funding other cities because we lacked our own local government. Our incorporation effort reversed that reality, ensuring those tax dollars are now reinvested back into our own community to strengthen our roads, infrastructure, public amenities, and neighborhoods. I now serve on the inaugural Santan Valley Town Council as Vice Mayor, where I remain focused on turning that historic milestone into a strong and functional town government, building the systems, stability, and momentum needed in our very first years. Alongside this civic work, I serve as the church planting pastor of City Table Church in Santan Valley, where we are building a community centered on engaging our city and gathering around the dining room table. What should be the top priorities for the new town? My top priority is ensuring a successful and seamless transition by July 1 so that Santan Valley is fully operational and residents experience continuity in essential services as responsibility shifts from the county to us. This handoff must be handled with clarity, strong coordination, enhanced services, and no disruptions. Immediately following that, public safety is one of the most urgent quality of life issues. We are facing critical gaps in emergency response coverage that directly impact resident safety that cannot be ignored. With a community of roughly 100,000 people and growing rapidly, 3 fire stations are not sufficient. Ambulance response times are falling short of acceptable standards, and the number of officers on patrol is below what is needed for a community of our size. The inaugural council is already beginning to address each of these issues, and we must continue building on that progress in the years ahead. Alongside these immediate priorities, I will focus on positioning the town for responsible growth by beginning the groundwork for long-term planning, including transportation coordination and early economic development efforts that expand local services, create jobs, and strengthen our tax base. Finally, we should begin investing early in community identity and livability through foundational amenities such as our first community park and pool. Residents are tired of being a collection of zip codes strapped together. They want to be a place they can truly call home with shared community spaces. What does Santan Valley need to do to grow responsibly over the next 5 to 10 years? He says Santan Valley needs to grow with the intention rather than simply reacting to the development pressure. Over the next 5 to 10 years, responsible growth will require a strong general plan that provides a clear vision for land use, infrastructure, and community identity, so decisions are guided rather than reactive. A key part of that is building a transportation plan that prioritizes new north-to-south and east-to-west connectivity so the community does not become defined by congestion and disconnected subdivisions. It will also need to address the number of roadway and intersection issues that cause accidents daily. Growth must also be paired with strategic economic development that attracts commercial and industrial investment, brings more local services closer to residents, creates quality jobs, and diversifies the tax base so the cost of growth is not carried primarily by homeowners. In addition, Santan Valley should proactively develop a vision for future downtown core that serves as both a civic and economic heart of the community. This vision should guide where investment, density, and public spaces come together over time. As a new town, residents of Santan Valley will be paying new taxes. How will this benefit residents? His response, for years, Santan Valley has functioned without a municipal government of its own, meaning funding and services were managed at a distant county layer of government. The result is that investment has often lagged behind growth and decisions have not always reflected the specific needs of our residents. Achieving incorporation changes that dynamic. It means the dollars generated here stay here and are directed by our leaders who live in and are accountable to the people of Santan Valley. That creates the ability to respond faster, plan smarter, and prioritize the services that matter most to daily life. Residents will see the benefit in more reliable public safety, better coordinated infrastructure that keeps up with rapid growth, and a stronger foundation for attracting businesses that bring jobs and services closer to home. At its core, this is about aligning local resources with local priorities so that what residents contribute is directly translated into a safer, stronger, and more connected Santan Valley. And that ends for him. Our next candidate is Dan Oakes, age 58, employment licensed professional counselor, founder and director of the Arizona Family Institute. Community involvement. I've lived in Santan Valley for over 2 decades, raised my family here, and built my professional life serving individuals, couples, and families in this community. I've been actively involved in local schools, faith-based service, and community initiatives, and I currently serve on the town council working to help shape the future of Santan Valley. What should the top priorities for the new town be? I think the real question underneath this is, what kind of a place do we want to become? For me, it comes down to 3 priorities: public safety, infrastructure, and community identity. First, we need to ensure strong and sustainable public safety services, police, fire, and emergency response. People need to feel safe in their homes and neighborhoods. Second, infrastructure. Roads, traffic flow, water, and public services need to catch up with the growth we've already experienced. Many families feel that strain every day. And third, something that gets overlooked, we need to build a sense of community identity, not just houses and businesses, but places and opportunities for people to connect. Parks, recreation, community events, a town where people actually know each other. I've sat with enough families in my office to know people don't just need services, they need belonging. What does Santan Valley need to grow responsibly over the next 5 to 10 years? Growth is already happening. The question is whether we guide it or react to it. Responsible growth means planning ahead, not playing catch-up. We need thoughtful zoning that balances residential, commercial, and open space. If we don't bring in quality businesses and jobs, we become a commuter community, and that affects families' time and quality of life. We also need to protect what people moved here for in the first place: space, family-centered living, a slower pace compared to the city. There's a tension here. Growth brings opportunity, but unmanaged growth creates strain. I think our job is to hold that tension carefully so we don't lose the character of the community while we build for the future. As a new town, residents of Santan Valley will be paying new taxes. How will this benefit residents? This is a fair concern. Nobody wants more taxes without clear value. The benefit is local control. Right now, many decisions that affect Santan Valley are made at the county level. As a town, those resources stay here and are directed by people who live here and understand the needs of this community. That means better roads, improved public safety, more responsive services, and the ability to invest in things like parks, recreation, and community programs. It also means accountability. Residents will be able to see where their money is going and have a direct voice in those decisions. I don't think people are looking for more government. They're looking for a town that works, a place where their families can feel safe, supported, and connected. That's really what this is all about. Alex Stovall is the next candidate. He's 31 years old and a retired. Community involvement. First vice chair of Pinal County Republican Committee, president of Arizona Republican Assembly of North Central Pinal County Chapter, chair of Pinal YRs. What should be the top priorities for the new town? His reply: having a balanced budget, fixing our roads, bringing innovation in a healthy, controlled manner, protect private property rights, restrain bureaucratic growth and taxing, provide quality services, prioritize public safety, and manage growth priorities. Question: what does Santan Valley need to grow responsibly over the next 5 to 10 years? Ensuring the tax dollars of the citizens are accounted for and spent responsibly. Implement quality planning and zoning concepts. Institute further infrastructure foundations. Institute best practices for resident input. Implement a zero-based budget process. As a new town, residents of Santan Valley will be paying new taxes. How will this benefit residents? His response: when residents pay taxes, those funds help support essential services and infrastructure that communities rely on every day. Responsible tax policy allows local and state governments to maintain public safety, build infrastructure, and provide important public services. I am not a strong supporter of placing unnecessary tax burdens on our residents or increasing pressure on homeowners. Local control, planning, and zoning policies that protect quality, lifestyle, provide top quality first responder services, safe streets, improved transportation, and other infrastructure improvement funds help ensure residents have essential infrastructure and services in place, such as roads, fire protection, and law enforcement, along with many other important community resources that support a safe and functioning society. Last candidate, Rupert Wolfert, age 45, Employment, Department of Veteran Affairs, Program Specialist, Community Involvement, American Legion Post 97, Arizona Association for Economic Development, Friends of Santan Valley Library, appointed council member, Town of Santan Valley. What should be the top priorities for the new town? His response, Santan Valley is at a turning point as it becomes an incorporated town following years of rapid, uncoordinated growth. A heavy focus on residential development without matching jobs, services, or infrastructure has led to congestion, traffic, and a sense of disorganization. Now the priority must be a clear, balanced land use plan that aligns housing, businesses, open space, and employment centers. Thoughtful planning can correct past imbalances and ensure future growth is coordinated and sustainable. Economic development is equally critical. Attracting jobs, retail, and essential services will allow residents to meet daily needs closer to home while strengthening the town's financial base. A more balanced local economy will reduce commuting pressures and support long-term stability. At the same time, the town must establish a right-sized, lean administrative and financial structure. Efficient budgeting, staffing, and service delivery will ensure taxpayer dollars are used responsibly without waste while still meeting current and future needs. This includes setting a property tax rate that is not burdensome to residents while still providing reliable services. Strong fiscal discipline will build trust and long-term resilience. Finally, fostering a strong civic identity through transparent, responsive government and meaningful public engagement will help unify residents and build pride in the community. Question, what does Santan Valley need to grow responsibly over the next 5 to 10 years? His response, to grow responsibly over the next 5 to 10 years, Santan Valley must take a balanced, forward-looking approach grounded in smart growth principles. Greater emphasis should be placed on mixed-use development that prioritizes commercial space, job creation, and walkable community hubs alongside housing. This will strengthen the local economy, reduce commute times, and keep more spending within the community. At the same time, thoughtful planning must preserve open space and expand recreational areas, ensuring growth does not come at the expense of quality of life. Family-first policies should serve as a guiding compass, focusing on safe neighborhoods, accessible amenities, and a high standard of living. Coordinating with regional and state partners will be essential to secure infrastructure, funding, and improve transportation. Finally, maintaining long-term financial sustainability through careful budgeting and responsible investment will allow the town to grow without placing unnecessary burdens on residents. Question, as a new town, residents of Santan Valley will be paying new taxes. How will this benefit residents? His response, as Santan Valley becomes an incorporated town, it will begin collecting local taxes, and many residents understandably have questions about what they will receive in return, especially since much of the opposition to incorporation was based on the belief that taxes would simply increase without clear benefits. That concern, while valid, is often misguided. Incorporation is not about raising taxes for their own sake. It is about gaining local control over how revenue is used. Instead of relying on county decisions, the town can invest in priorities residents value most, including establishing local public safety services that put our community first, improving roads, and expanding parks and programs. Local funding also helps attract businesses, create jobs, and strengthen the economy, expanding the tax base over time. With disciplined budgeting, the town can set a fair, non-burdensome property tax rate. Most importantly, decisions will be made by local leaders accountable to the community, ensuring tax dollars directly benefit Santan Valley. End of story. Her next article is entitled McClure Sees Roads, Water as Challenges. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune June 4th, 2026. No author is listed. This is the third in a series of weekly profiles of the candidates for Queen Creek Town Council in the July 21st primary election. Brian McClure waxes nostalgic about growing up in Queen Creek next to a long-gone dairy, but the candidate for a second four-year term on the town council is also a proponent of growth. Queen Creek welcomes new residents, he said, adding the town isn't the type of place where people want to shut the gates once they've arrived. My family has always been welcoming to newcomers, said McClure, whose uncle was the late longtime mayor, Gail Barney. Queen Creek is a hyper-growth community, although our growth rate is slowing down, he observed. Queen Creek's population has doubled in the past decade, but the annual growth has slowed from about 10% to 6%, according to town staff reports. McClure was elected by his fellow council members to serve as vice mayor in 2026. The vice mayor takes over mayoral duties such as chairing council meetings, signing official documents when the mayor is unavailable. He sees his hometown as a beautiful community that is known for its rural charm and suburban amenities, with its biggest challenges being providing infrastructure, especially transportation and water delivery. In transportation, McClure points to plans to improve the Sossaman-Germain Roads intersection that would allow Germain to run continuously as a major east-west route in northern Queen Creek. He also favors a north-south corridor, the Pinal Parkway, that would run east of town and hook up to extension of State Route 24. That would handle a lot of traffic from the Santan Valley area that passes through Queen Creek daily, making travel easier for both Queen Creek and out-of-town drivers, McClure said. According to the Queen Creek Police Department, the town's roads handle 225,000 vehicles a day, indicating a lot of pass-through traffic for a community of 91,900 residents. McClure, his wife, and their five children live near Frontier Family Park. They own an investment advisory business, which, along with family, community, and church involvement, keeps him very busy. How does he find time for town council? We have good people to help me run the business, McClure said. It provides a lot of flexibility to allow me to give back to the community. I love it. It's truly rewarding. McClure's three goals, if reelected: family-friendly. We need to provide the best quality of life for our residents. For families to thrive, we must continue to construct more roads, parks, and infrastructure for water. Public safety, supporting our brave first responders that keep our community safe, is a top priority. We will support our firefighters and police officers with the right training, equipment, and staff to keep Queen Creek residents safe. Strong economy, creating a business-friendly environment is important to attracting good-paying jobs and small businesses. We must commit to keeping taxes low and ensuring the town government operates within its means. Meet the candidates. This five-week series is profiling the candidates for the Queen Creek Town Council. Three incumbents and two challengers are vying for three open council seats. The series lineup is May 17th, Benjamin Harrison, challenger. May 24th, Nick Massey, challenger. May 31st, Brian McClure, incumbent. June 7th, Don Oliphant, incumbent. June 14th, Travis Padilla, incumbent. The positions are for 4 years and pay $26,000. $278 annually. If no three council candidates receive the necessary votes in the July 21st primary election, there will be a runoff in the general election November 3rd. Mayor Julia Wheatley is running unopposed and will appear on the November 3rd ballot. Key election dates: June 22nd, deadline to register to vote. June 25th, early voting begins. July 21st, primary election. August 5th, deadline to remove political signs if candidate is not advancing to the November 3rd general election. End of story. Our next article is entitled Toilet to Tap Water Not in Queen Creek's Near Future. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune June 8th, 2026 and written by Jim Ficus, Tribune contributor. One slice on pie chart illustrating Queen Creek's future water portfolio can at first blush be troubling. Effluent, 16%. That's right, wastewater. But not to worry, the water in your toilet bowl today will not find its way into your drinking glass tomorrow. But that might not be in the so distant future in other Arizona cities, including Phoenix and possibly Scottsdale. Since 2018, Queen Creek has used treated, reclaimed water to fill its lakes and community lakes around town. The reclaimed water water in those lakes is then reused to irrigate nearby landscaping. The process conserves drinking water and saves money while helping make public amenities economically and environmentally feasible. Queen Creek Utility Director Mark Skosipek explained the process. In Arizona, every drop of water is important, he said. Most municipalities treat their wastewater, which is disinfected and treated until it reaches an A-plus standard, which is safe but not drinkable. In Queen Creek, the effluent comes from the domestic wastewater that is sent to the Greenfield Water Reclamation Plant at Greenfield and Queen Creek Roads in Gilbert. It is a joint project with Gilbert and Mesa. Plans call for Queen Creek to up its daily capacity at Greenfield to 6 million gallons from 4 million, Skosipek said. Generally, we get about 90% of that water back as treated effluent, he said. About half of that goes to the Roosevelt Water District and half to a Gilbert recharge facility. The water basically turns into a groundwater credit for the town to use, Skosipek said. As long as we use it in the general vicinity, we can use it as part of our long-term assured water supply. We are not directly reusing it. If we send 6.6 million gallons to the reclamation plant, then we have 6 million gallons of credit to use to long-term water supply. Queen Creek is developing two water recharge stations along the Queen Creek Wash at Meridian and Kenworthy Roads. The Meridian site is expected to be online in 2 years and Kenworthy about a year later. When in full operation, they will recharge about 8,500 acre-feet of water, or about 2.8 billion gallons per year. The main reason Queen Creek isn't thinking about converting effluent into drinking water is that it secured 1.7 million acre-feet of water from the Harquahala Basin, which is expected to deliver 68% of the town's water needs for 110 years. That project carries a $465 million price tag, which will be paid by water user fees expected to be lower than the groundwater replenishment district fees most Queen Creek customers now pay. Another key percentage in that water strategy, 8% from the Colorado River, is looking better for Queen Creek. Most Arizona municipalities along the Central Arizona Project Canal, which delivers the water, are much more dependent on the Colorado. Allotments are expected to be significantly cut as demand among the seven states uses the water increases and supply diminishes. Three large Arizona cities, Phoenix, Tucson, and Scottsdale, are entering the wastewater into tap water business. Phoenix, which gets 40% of its water from the Colorado, has begun construction on two of three plants that will be used in that process. One plant is expected to become operational next year, while the second is expected to be delivering ultra-purified wastewater to taps by 2030. Additional processes such as reverse osmosis and ultraviolet advanced oxidation will be employed to make treated effluent safe to drink. Will Queen Creek ever consider turning this wastewater into drinking water? There are no immediate plans or capital improvement projects planned for that at this point, Skosipek said. It's one of those resources we may need to contemplate, if not this generation, the next. Obviously, we have to be as conscientious with water as we can. End of story. That wraps up our show today for East Valley News. This is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Stay tuned for programs coming up next.